Really excited to preach this morning. We're continuing our sermon series on Elijah and Elisha, and I've just been touched by this series all throughout. It's amazing what we can see when we go dig deep into the Word of God back in the Old Testament, the stuff that sometimes you guys ignore. There's some good stuff in there, right? Anybody agree with that? All right. So last week we talked about how amazing it is that God is willing and actually wants to participate with us in His miracles. That He asks us to do the small things and He takes care of the big things. Last week we talked about how to sweat the small stuff and let God trust and trust God for the big stuff. In the context of last week, we talked about how we're going to go dig some ditches. Anybody dig some ditches this week? Four of you? I didn't see many ditches out there. Where were you digging? We dig the ditches and God sends the rain, and that's what it's about. Today, I believe this message is going to speak to a couple different types of people. The first is the person who just started following God, and you say, okay, Zach, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God, but I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. How do I start serving God? What do I do? I'm going to give you the question that's going to change everything for you, and where God takes it, only He knows. I don't know what to do, Zach. I get that question. What do I do next? This morning, you're going to want to listen up. The second person this message is going to help today is somebody that's just feeling low. You're feeling empty. You feel like you don't have much to offer. Today, you're going to see once again that God can do a lot with a little. He can turn your exception, your little bit, into something exceptional. And that's the title this morning is Your Exceptional Exception. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you are an exceptional exception. Right now. Say, you are an exceptional exception. And now turn to the one that you didn't turn to first and say, you're not quite as an exceptional exception as the one I first turned to. All right. The story we're looking at today is from 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Page number 365, if you're using the Bibles that we provide. And we're going to get right into it. It's a really cool story this morning. It says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except... Everybody say, except, has nothing there at all, except a small jar of olive oil. Now, the first thing you notice is we actually don't know this poor widow's name at this point. Many scholars believe that this could have been Obadiah's wife, which was the same Obadiah we met in 1 Kings 18 that was hiding 50 prophets from Jezebel so they didn't get killed. So he was hiding for them, he was providing for them, and quite possibly through all of that, he gave money away, he gave his possessions away so that they would be taken care of, so that when he actually died, his wife is not left in a good position. He's in a little bit of debt. I know none of us would ever be in any sort of debt at all out there. But Obadiah, or whoever this woman's husband was, left her in debt. He revered the Lord, but he left his family in debt. And so let's just imagine, and I think it would be fair to do so, this widow is probably in her 30s. She's got two boys at this point, and she's just lost her husband, so she's got no chance at meaningful employment in those days unless the woman took the job that no woman wanted to take. I think you know what that is. She's in a devastating place now, and the creditor's coming to her saying, hey, you got to pay your debts, or I get your boys. And that's part of the law back then. And so she's hitting rock bottom. Humanly speaking, she just lost her husband. She's about to lose her boys. She's at rock bottom right now. She's hopeless. These are not some small entry-level problems for her. These are rock-bottom graduate-level problems. And some of us can't relate because we treat our entry-level problems like they're problems like this woman. Like if you get really, really riled up and ticked off because your GPS on your car stops working, like that's not the problems we're talking about. If you get really frustrated because you get home and you DVR'd a show and it didn't tape for you, or tape's an old word, it didn't DVR for you because you got four other shows at that point and you can't do a fifth, or you got your whole 400 hours filled with other stuff so it literally couldn't fit in. And number one, you have a problem. But number two, that's an entry-level problem. That's not the stuff we're talking about. If you go to a restaurant and you are just so fuming angry because the waiter put the goat cheese on the salad, and you said, I don't want the goat cheese on the salad, I want it on the side. If that angers you, like, you got some issues. Those are entry-level problems. You took a picture of yourself and you didn't get as many likes on your selfie that you posted on Facebook or Instagram or wherever it might have been. And you think, man, maybe I did something wrong. Maybe the size was wrong. Maybe my pose should have been better. Maybe I should have I don't even know how to do duck face. Duck faced it. I don't know. But if that's what angers you, that's not the problems that this woman has. And I believe that many of you actually have some graduate level problems, some rock bottom problems. Your marriage is on the rocks. And you don't know how you're going to make it. Someone that you loved has been lying to you, and you don't even know what you have anymore. You have a child that may be going the wrong way, and you are mature enough to know that if she keeps going down this road, it's going to end in disaster, but it seems like all you can do is sit back and watch because she's not listening. Some of you are like this woman, and you are in debt. You don't know how you're going to get out of the mess that you made for yourself. The money coming in isn't as much as the money going out. Some of you, it might be a health issue that, honestly, without a miracle from God, you don't know how many days you have left. Some of you have some really serious problems this morning, and I think this is going to speak to you. My first, if you want to write down some points today, I got a few of them. My first one that you might want to write down is this, is when you don't have what you really want, you will discover that God is what you really need. I thought I'd get a few more amens. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought it was pretty good. I'm going to say it again just to see what happens. When you don't have what you really want, you will discover God is what you really need. Yeah. Oh, now I get all the pity amen. Listen, I want them on the first time. Come on, people. So this woman, she's in significant need. And what does the prophet do? Verse 2, we already read it, but Elisha replies to her. He says this question. This is key. Listen, he says, how can I help you? How can I help you? He doesn't blow her off or say, man, stinks to be you. Or that's really hard. Or maybe you've heard this one. I've said it myself. Oh, man, that stinks. I'll be thinking of you. What does that even mean anyway? Like, you just, hang on, I'll be thinking of you. Let me do it right now, actually. Hey, I thought about you and your situation sucks. Like, what does that do? What does thinking of you actually do? Listen, if I'm in great need, I don't want you to think about me. I want you to do something and help me. I want you to do something significant to help me. And that's exactly what Elisha does. Earlier this week, my boys and I, we were getting ready to eat breakfast, and Mom was getting ready in the other room. And sometimes Mom takes a little while to get ready because women do that sort of thing. And so she was over there getting ready, and we tried to wait. We thought about it, but we didn't. We started eating. And she came in and was like, hey, babe, sorry, we started without you. And she said, it's okay. It's the thought that counts. I thought, really? I think that phrase actually kind of stinks. It's not the thought that counts. It's the action. It's the question with the action. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful that God didn't just think about us. I'm so grateful he didn't just sit up there and say, man, they made a mess of it. Let's watch. Let's watch the fireworks. This movie's going down. I'm so grateful God didn't just think about us. But man, more than any other week, we can celebrate he came down as one of us. He did something about it. He said, how can I help you? And he followed by giving his one and only son to walk the earth, to be like us, and to die on a cross and to rise from the dead so that you and I might have salvation. If he'd have just thought about it, we wouldn't have the hope and the joy that we have here this morning. It's not the thought that counts. It's the question followed by the action. How can I help you? And this question is so countercultural to the question that I ask and that you ask. I ask, how can I help myself? How can I get other people to help me? How can I use others in this world to promote myself? I don't think I'm the only one that asked that. I've gone into relationships before and I thought, man, it would be really cool to know this person because this person might be able to network me with this person and I might be able to use them sometime in my future along my path to boost myself. I don't think I'm the only one that's ever thought that. You see, in this world, we look out for three people. You know who they are? Yeah. Me, myself, and I. And this question is so countercultural. And if you want to serve God, if you're saying, Zach, I don't know what to do next, this question changes everything. You wake up every morning and you tell God, God, I'm going to be your divine representative today. And you go out there and you ask people. You find the needs and you say, how can I help you? How can I help you? You don't just say it because it's one thing to just say it, but it's the actions. And if you think about it, I honestly believe that there are marriages on the rocks right now that if you both woke up with this question, how can I help you? Man, I think that's going to do wonders because my gut says you're in the problem that you're in because you're asking, how can I help myself? How can I help you? Man, wake up every day, go to work. Somebody's got an issue. Their kid's going off the deep end. They've got migraine headaches. They need help with their project. How can I help you? What do I do, Zach? I don't know what to do. It's simple. How can I help you? And then follow that up with some action. That's what Jesus has done for us. And then he says this to her. He says, what do you have in your house? He respects her dignity. He doesn't say, hey, yo, I'm Elisha. I'm a pretty big deal and I can take care of everything for you. I got all your answers covered for you. He says, hey, I want to help you, but first I want to know what you have. I want to know what I'm working with because sometimes, and we've seen this a lot, but sometimes we want to help somebody, but they don't actually want to help themselves, right? Or sometimes we just help and help and help and serve and serve and serve and give and give and give. And it creates this thing called codependency or enabling. And we don't want to do that. Elisha doesn't want to do that either. He wants to help her. I'm here to help you. But first, I want to know what do you have? Because I want to work with you, not totally for you. I want to work with you. And she says, I don't have much except a little jar of olive oil. She had more than that. She had a house at that point. She had two boys that she desperately cared for at that point. But when you're hurting and lacking, all you can see is what you don't have and you miss out on the blessings that you do have. I don't have enough money, so I'll never be happy. I don't have a spouse, so I can't have a meaningful life. I don't have kids, so I'm never going to feel fulfilled. I don't have what I want, so life doesn't really matter. I've known ladies that'll walk into a closet full of clothes. I don't know if you've ever met one. They'll walk into a closet full of clothes. They'll touch them all, and they'll come out and say, I got nothing to wear. Woman, you could feed. You could not feed. You could probably feed if you sold them. You could clothe a whole small African village with all you got in that 20 by 20 walk-in closet of yours. It's not just the women, though, it's the men. I've went into my pantry before. It is stocked full. I'm telling you, there's good stuff in there. And then I'll go into my fridge right after. Man, it is, you can't fit. It's like a puzzle piece fitting everything. And I've looked at both of those things, the full pantry, the full fridge. And I've come out to my wife and said, we got nothing to eat again. Let's go to Chipotle. And just because the Lord's smiling down upon me, we had a member of the day this morning that gave me a free Chipotle burrito. And chips and salsa. I don't know how she knew I liked Chipotle. Never mention it from the stage or anything. When you're in need, you focus on what you don't have. She lost almost everything and all she could see was her lack. What do you do when you don't have much or feel like you don't, or feel like you're empty and you don't have much except? Here's the second main point this morning, is you stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. Got a few more that time. Stop waiting for what you want and start working with what you have. I have nothing except a small jar of olive oil. Listen, you take your exception and God will turn it into something exceptional. How many of us are grateful that God can use our exception and turn it into something exceptional? She didn't know it at this point, but Elisha is going to look at her exception, the very thing that she says, I only got a little bit up, and he's going to turn it into something exceptional that's going to provide for her and her family for the duration of their lives. What good is a small jar of olive oil? It is valuable back then, but she didn't have much. It's valuable because you use it in cooking. We still do that today. In that day, you'd use it to help your lamps burn. You would use it as moisturizer because you couldn't go into a Bath and Body Works and nearly faint because of all the moisturizer smells in there. You use it to keep your leather pliable. It was used as an offering to God, and it was used to anoint people in religious services. So it was valuable, but she only had a little bit and not a lot. I'm so glad that we have a God that specializes in doing a lot with a little, and I just feel like that's going to speak to somebody this morning, that we serve a God who's capable of doing a lot with a little. And later in this chapter, Elisha is going to take, it's not as good as Jesus, but Elisha is going to take 20 loaves and feed hundreds of people. God, Jesus invented that. Well, he kind of did through Elisha, right? But he did that. He took a lot, he took a little and turned it into a lot. And Jesus would come, and there's this boy as he was preaching, as he was teaching on the mountainside. And there's this boy that says, I don't have much. I got a little bit. I don't have much except I got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Can you do much with that, Jesus? Oh, yeah. Oh, I can do a whole lot with that little boy. Come on now. Goliath, this massive giant, like he was calling out everybody, mocking the Son of God, mocking our God. He was doing this, and all the big people, they didn't want anything to do with him. And so God sent a little shepherd boy that had a little bit of faith and a little stone. And David says, you know what? You all look at Goliath like he's too big to meet. I look at Goliath like he's too big to miss. You got to change your perspective sometimes in life. Because when you have a little with God involved, you got a lot. God can turn your exception. I don't have much except I got a stone and a sling. What'll that do? That'll destroy Goliath. Elisha says, what do you have in your house? God asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? He didn't say, what do you want or what do you need? So let's stop waiting for what we want and start working with what we have, because God gave us everything that we need. And people often excuse themselves from the miraculous because they don't have a lot to work with. Or they don't think they can offer God very much. Maybe they feel like they got a lack of skills or a lack of resources or a lack of experience. Whatever the reason might be, what they don't realize is that that in itself makes you a perfect candidate for the power of God to flow mightily through your lives. Because God has a history of using what little someone has to do, of what little someone has to do great things that only He can do. All God needs to work a miracle in your life is all you have. A God who created the world out of nothing. Come on. He can use your exception and turn it into something exceptional. Last week I mentioned, like many times I ask, if I know God can do these miracles, can do all this stuff, like, God, why don't you just do it now? Like God, if you would just give me, you know, I know what I need. I think I know what I need, God, to grow this church and all the ministries that we're affiliated with. God, I just need X amount of millions of dollars. And so, God, if you'll just give me that, like, I promise I'll use it in good ways. I want to do it. I know how to do it right, God. Why won't you just give it to me? And I think here's one of the reasons why. Because our limitations often give us the insight to help us think more creatively and innovatively than we ever would without. If we had everything that we need, we wouldn't be thinking real hard, right? We wouldn't be using what we do have to try to maximize it. I wouldn't have broken a world record. Because if we'd have just had the money to buy the house, like, we'd have just had the money to buy the house. I would have slept that weekend. That would have been fun. But our limitations help us think creatively. It's what keeps us. See, it's one thing to be big thinking. One of our values here at the church is big thinking, faith-filled, and they go together because big thinking does nothing. But man, when it's attached to faith-filled, powerful things can happen, especially when we're using our creativity that God gave us. God created, and we are like Him, and so we are creators, and we rely on God. I'm so thankful that He teaches to do a lot with a little instead of just giving me what I needed or what I want. Some of you are thinking, I wish I had something else so I could do something more significant in my life. God's saying, use what you have right this very moment. There's a man here right now, I guarantee, that says, you know what? I'm not a good provider. I don't make a six-figure income. I wish I did. And God would say, hey man, you are home 6 nights a week with your family and your kids. That's awesome. Your most important thing will not be what you make, but who you raise. You got to change your perspective. and start working with what you have. God will do His part. This woman didn't have much to offer. Just a little bit of olive oil. But when she was connected, we're going to see, with the prophet, her two sons, the community, and with a God who specializes in doing a lot with a little, it's going to turn into something exceptional for her. Verse 3, Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. I like that. Don't ask for just a few. You get the sense that Elisha is saying, hey, be bold when you ask. Like, challenge these people. Like, and for us, like, we don't want to just ask a little bit of you. We want you to turn your whole life over to Jesus Christ. Because that's where you find the real comfort from the Holy Spirit. That's where you find the real hope and the real joy and the real peace, is when you turn everything around. So we ask boldly because we believe in God boldly. And so we don't want to ask for just a little. We want to ask for a lot. And so Elisha says, hey, you got to go out into the community. You got to ask for a lot. Don't just settle for a little bit. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. I want you to pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to the side. So she left him. And she shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not another jar left. And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told Elisha, and Elisha said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Your exception just turned into something exceptional for you and your family. If you trust God and pour out what you have, God will continue to refill your jar, and He will keep on pouring. If you just pour out what you have, God will be faithful. As we said last week, you show me your faith and I'll what? I'll show you my faithfulness. God says, you pour it out. As long as there's an empty jar, God says, I'm going to fill it. And when there were no jars left, it stopped flowing. When she offered what little she had, God gave her everything she needed. As long as there was the empty jar, the oil kept flowing. And that's how God works. When we show Him our faith, we get to see His faithfulness. And it starts with us asking the question, how can I help? And then putting that question into practice. How can I help you? The key question in serving God, how can I help you? I remember 5 years ago, before we were organized as a church, feeling the call of God with a few families to start a church in this area. Felt like with the young families kind of moving into the area, the Beltway, the growth that we expect coming our way, we felt like this would be a great area to build a church and to reach all people, but especially to reach the lost generation. And I remember looking around at the group, and we talked about it. We had some vision, and we said, guys, we don't have much, except we got a few families that are passionate about seeing this through. That few families has turned into several hundred families. And who knows where God takes us. I don't need much, God says. Just give me a little bit. Give me your exception. I'll take that. And God says, even in this case, I'll take a jar that's empty. I don't care if it's a peanut butter jar, a milk jug, because they come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. I'll use whatever I got. I just need you. I just need you. I remember a woman, before we were even organized as a church, that looked at the community. She said, how can I help? There's a great need. There's a lot of people in hunger right now. There's a lot of people that don't have the full cupboards and full fridges that many of us have. How can we help those people? She started by opening a food pantry. 6 years later, Lake Cares last year served over 29,000 individuals. I don't have much, except I got a heart to serve the community. And I got a full fridge. What can you do with that, God? It's pretty powerful. Remember when Dave Douglas came up to me several years ago and said, I hate my job. I don't want to be a mailman anymore. Give me something to do. I said, okay, I got something for you. He said, okay, if you give it to me, though, I get to blame you if it doesn't work. I said, that's fine. You can blame me if it doesn't work. Dave said, I don't have much, except I have a heart willing to serve. I have a heart for those men, especially that are recovering from alcoholism and addiction. What can we do? How can we help? I don't know. Let's just do it. God will turn it into something. And we've got two houses now. I praise God for the guys that are going through that house. God is doing miraculous, incredible things, and lives are being changed with somebody's exception. One of my favorite things that we do each year is in the summer, Life's Choices brings baby bottles to our church. And these baby bottles are empty. There's nothing in them. And they say, hey, to us and to many other churches in the area, can you fill these baby bottles up with what you may deem as an exception, with something you may deem as insignificant? Can you just fill these up with some pocket change? They gave us 125 bottles last year. We returned 96 of them. Where the 29 are, like if you stole a baby bottle from Life's Choices, like God's going to do something bad this week for you. Don't steal baby bottles. That's terrible. But in our 96, we gave back and just exceptions and just a little bit of change, $2,000. And the overarching thing with all the churches, all those baby bottles came back, and they got $20,000 from that. Because you take enough people's exceptions, oh yeah, God will turn it into something exceptional. He just needs you to be willing. You maybe don't think you have much. You maybe feel like you're empty. You may feel like you're an empty jar this morning, but there's good news. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Sometimes God likes to work through empty jars or people that are low because the other people look on the outside and say, how does she do that? How did he do it? He's not that talented. And we would say, I know, but God is with him. The power, it says, is from God and not from us. And God is looking for a few empty jars this morning, because when we empty ourselves of ourselves, when we empty ourselves of pride, of greed, of our own agendas, and come to him totally empty, that's when he fills us with his oil. And all throughout the word, oil is symbolic for the Holy Spirit. And so when you come to God feeling empty, feeling like you've got nothing left, feeling you don't have much to offer except ... God will fill you up with the power of the Holy Spirit, because you got a treasure in your jar of clay that is from him that you're ready to give into this world. When you are weak, you realize he is your strength. When you are hurting, he is your comfort. When you are thirsty, he is your living water. When you are hungry, he is your bread of life. When you realize you don't have what you wanted, you realize he is exactly what you need. Amen. So my question for you this morning, what's your exception? How can you use your exception to help somebody in need? What's your exception? Zach, I don't feel like I have much, except I got Wednesday nights open, and I do want to see the next generation reached. And so I'll show up and I'll be a leader for the youth. And then you're going to look back and you're going to say, Wednesday nights are the best nights of my week, because I get to pour into those kids. Zach, I don't have much except I have 1 year of sobriety. Good for you. Keep going, and God will use the mess that you made of your life before and turn it into a message for somebody else out there. Zach, I don't have much except I have been married for 40 years. Can I help those that are kind of struggling? Yeah, we need you to. Because there's a lot of marriages that are struggling. There's a lot of marriages that are struggling, and we can use your exception to help us. Zach, I don't have much, but I'm pretty good with a budget. And so can I help young couples or individuals learn how to budget? Can I help them do that? Zach, I don't have much except started playing the guitar. Pretty good, actually. Maybe I could use my talents to help. Zach, I don't have much, but like 25 years ago, I bought stock in this. Like, I thought it was a fruit company called Apple. And I never looked. Maybe it's not worth anything, but I got 1,000 shares of Apple. Can you use that? Oh, yeah, I can use that. Oh, yeah. Oh, we can turn that exception into something exceptional real quick. Zach, I don't have much. I don't have much. But I have a heart that's willing to serve. Zach, I don't have much. I feel empty. But I want God to do something great in me. What's your exception? Because God's going to turn it into something exceptional. And I just can't wait when we look back years from now and we've all taken our exceptions and we've brought them together and we look back and realize how we changed a city. And it's not us, it's God. We dug the ditches and God sent the rain. We used our exceptions and God made it exceptional. And if you're still feeling like, I don't know what he can do with me, I want to end with these two verses, some of the best verses in the Bible, in my opinion. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says this. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." How much more? Immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to not our power, but according to his power. And that's how he's able to do immeasurably more. According to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church. And to him be glory in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And the people said, amen. 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 God will turn your exception into something exceptional. He will use you even if you feel empty. All you got to come with is a heart willing to serve and say, hey, how can I help you? And put something to it. How can I help you? Because we have a God that came down and helped us when we were a mess, when we were empty, when we were beyond dead in our sins. Jesus Christ came into this world, demonstrated his love for us while we were still sinners at the cross. And that's what we come to celebrate this next week especially. And so I pray that you're out there and you say, Zach, I don't have many friends that don't know Jesus except so-and-so. I don't know who those exceptions may be in your life, but I pray this week you would invite them and you would invite them to come experience the love and grace of Jesus Christ at church with us this upcoming weekend, because your exception may turn into something exceptional for them. And that's what we're here to do. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your presence in this place this morning. I thank you that you are a God that does a lot with a little and can even use an empty jar. Because, Lord, we got some empty jars and people that are feeling like they're on E today. And so, Lord, I pray that you would lift them up. I pray that the same oil that was flowing from the woman's jars would be the Holy Spirit that is flowing in this place this morning, in this morning right now, Jesus. Would your Holy Spirit pour out on this place and give us the power that we need to go out and to do incredible things, to use our exceptions to do something exceptional. In fact, if you've got an exception this morning that you've been thinking about as I've been preaching, if you've got an exception this morning and you're saying, you know what, I'm going to turn that exception over to God and he's going to turn it into something exceptional, I just ask right now that you would stand. If you've got an exception that you want God to do something exceptional with this morning, I pray that you would stand right now. Lord Jesus, those that are standing and even those that are sitting, Lord, that you're still coming through and you're still breaking in on their hearts, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would do something exceptional in their lives, that you would show up in a mighty, powerful way, that they know it's from you and only you, Jesus. God, use their exception to turn it into something exceptional. Do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or think or imagine, because you are a God of the impossible. You are an unstoppable God. You reign forever and ever, and you've bought us with your blood, and we have the Spirit of the living God living inside of us, and so nothing can stop us. If there is nothing that can stop us, because God, if you are for us, who can be against us? Now, if everybody could stand. Jesus, we praise you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are and for what you're doing in this place. Lord, I pray for those that are hurting right now, those that are sick, those that, Lord, are battling cancer or struggling with disease, God, that you would come in a mighty, miraculous way. and use their exception and turn it into something exceptional and bring families together in these moments, Lord. I pray for those that are looking for jobs and they've been trying hard, they've been applying, they've been doing the right things, God, that you would give them the job of their dreams, even more than they ever could have thought or imagined. Jesus, I pray for this community. There's many people that don't know who you are. And Lord, I pray that we would be the ones that would take your gospel and your truth to them. Jesus, I thank you for your presence. May we never be the same because of you inside of us, Lord. May we never feel empty. Let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught us this morning when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.